Following Up is our new Without Borders podcast series, where we explore the world of media through the eyes of journalists. Join us as we deep dive into journalists' careers, uncover their daily working lives, the priorities and challenges they're facing, and how they're adapting to today's changing media landscape. Each episode, the media specialists at Taito are putting journalists in the hot seat and delving into the topics and stories that they really care about and getting the inside scoop on best practice for media relations.
In today's episode, we are joined by Adrian Swinsko, founder and host of the Punk CX podcast, with a special focus on customer service, experience and engagement, on what it takes to deliver the sort of outcomes that both customers and brands crave. In addition to being a writer and podcast host, Adrian has also authored several books, including a best-selling 2016 book called How to Wow, the 2019 hit book Punk CX described as a visual slap in the face for the customer experience industry, and an exciting follow-up called Punk XL at the end of 2021. We are so excited to learn more about his work across the customer experience sector, as well as hear his take on the evolving media landscape. I am Pauline, Director of Media at Taito, and I'm joined by Bastien, also Director of Media at Taito. Welcome to Following Up, Adrian.
Hi, Pauline. Hi, Bastien. Nice to be here. Hopefully I can share some ideas that might land with your audience. Fingers crossed.
No doubt it will. And perhaps we can start with a short overview of your background and what it is, on what it was about the CX space that interests you. I know as well that you don't like to be referred as a journalist, so maybe you can tell us a bit more of why.
Yeah, I mean, okay. The short story is I got into the whole service and experience space because back in the around about sort of 2017, 2018, I'd been about sort of 3 years out of kind of the corporate space, and I'd spent some time working independently, and I liked working independently, and I thought, well, actually, I could see how the landscape was developing, and I thought, well, actually, if I want to continue working as an independently, I need to develop a footprint, a digital footprint. And so I thought, well, actually, to do that, I need to sort of have a website, start writing, all these different things. I started writing about general business sort of stuff to start with, and that got very boring very quickly. And I realized I had to write about something that either frustrated me or I cared about. And what it dawned on me was that actually, I really don't like bad service. Having built and developed things that had employee and customer value at their heart, it's always frustrated me that organizations often get in the way of their people doing a good job when it comes to service and experience. And so I started writing about that on my own blog. I did that for a few years, published a book in late 2010, self-published book in late 2010, started a podcast when podcasts weren't cool in January 2011, and it's still running today. It was started under a different name, but now it's the Punk CX podcast. We've done over 550 episodes, then got in... invited to write a column for Forbes back in about 2013. It subsequently published How to Wow, as you said, in 2016, and then the Punk books in 2019 and 2021. And all of that has allowed me to develop a sort of a bit of a footprint in this sort of space. And I'm very deliberate in that. If you look at my bio on Forbes, it was very deliberately written where I said I write about customer service and the customer's experience. And the reason why I put it that way is because the way I think about it is that people talk about being, they say to me, it's like, oh, you're a customer experience expert. I'm like, no, so that's impossible. You cannot be an expert in somebody else's experience. You can think about what it takes to facilitate a good experience. And that's why I come at it from a service thing. How do we better serve our customers across the different things that kind of companies can do? And so I don't think about things, I don't describe myself as a journalist. I describe myself as a writer that is investigating and researching and advocating for better outcomes for customers, for employees, and for businesses as a whole.
Yeah, that's a good reminder, because I think maybe a lot of us within PR, we might sometimes forget about this. But I'm sure we can cover this later on. Just to go back on Punk CX, we all know that, of course, now podcasts are cool. And so we were wondering, what types of story or content tend to resonate the most with your audience?
So I guess it depends. I mean, so let me tell you, I mean, this will give you an insight in terms of like how I think. I went to an event, which was a memorial for a friend of ours recently. And it was held at this sort of like pub space and attached onto the side of a microbrewery. And there was one of those neon signs up on the wall that said, "Wandering, not lost." Which I thought was brilliant, and because that sort of describes my approach in terms of what I investigate in sort of that sort of service and experience sort of space is, and so I see myself as like wandering about, looking for clues, whether it's across kind of people, kind of process, technology, just kind of stories of things that people have kind of done. But I say is that looking for clues to help educate myself and potentially my audience. There around, here's a thing that you could use, or here's an approach that somebody's kind of used that will drive these better outcomes, and can we learn from that? And so I think it's a really difficult question to ask, like, what stands out? And I always say to people, you know, keep throwing things at me. And it's a bit like making spaghetti, you know, that old idea is like, throw it against the wall, if it sticks it's ready, then it's like, so take it off the heat. That's the approach that I take, and says that please don't be offended if I say no or not now. But I don't know. I don't have a set of themes that I'm thinking about. I have some rough domains, but I go where things take me. And I think that's the beautiful thing, is that because I'm not sort of dogmatic into that. I'm looking at this. I'm literally wandering, but not lost, because I'm focused on how do we drive those better outcomes.
And perhaps just to slightly reframe my question, if we were to look at specific companies or spokesperson, you know, what would be their key qualities or angles that would help them to stand out?
So the thing I really like talking about is that if people got research that they can talk about, then that's always really interesting. If they've got a particular customer sort of like story or case or approach that's come that they want to talk about, that's great. But I would say that any, particularly on the Punk CX, just come and be willing to have a rummage around that as a subject. It's not an advertorial. It's about come with enthusiasm, energy, pace, insight, all those different things. Be yourself. Bring the best version of yourself. And don't worry, I'm not going to hijack you. I'm trying to highlight good practice. I'm not interested in dragging people down. That's not how I roll in the parlance.
Good reminder. And so as a writer, what would you say is your biggest or like most memorable story that you ever worked on, and why?
I don't know. There's been so many. I mean, but I'll tell you a story about kind of that, one of the most recent ones. That somebody prompted me to say, oh, have you thought about writing a story about the evolution of the retail customer experience of the last 25 years, given that we're a quarter of a way through the 21st century? I mean, which is a crazy thing. And I started doing some research into it, and it was all these different sort of things, that these different events and around technology or society or whatever it might be. And I was on track to pretty much write a thesis. It was like becoming a bit of an opus. And I was like, I just do not want to do that. And nobody's going to want to read it. And so I had to kind of back away from it and go, I need to tell this from a different angle. And so I ended up telling it from a customer angle. And so like, here's what customers do now. But this is like so different from where we started. And this is what the journey that they've been on. But in doing that, I reflected on, here's the thing. While it might feel like everything has changed over the last 25 years, also you could make an argument that nothing has changed as well, in terms of the fundamentals around what customers expect, that they want value, they want things to be easy, efficient, but they also want to be seen, heard, and respected. And if we lose sight of that in that whole mix of trying to do better by them and for them, then we're not going to set ourselves up for success.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I guess it's just going back to the fundamental and less fluff.
And so I think that the writing, I mean, I always find the writing process for me, I love the outcome. I think the process is very masochistic oftentimes. It's, I find it really hard. It's like, I'm not a natural writer. I wish I was. I wish I could just go, I see some people that are journalists, people that are friends of mine, and they're like banging out kind of copy, just like mad people. And I'm a bit like, I wish I could do that. And I can't. Because it first of build a, it's like a thinking process, and it, I feel, I tell people that I've got, it's almost like I've got these pots in my brain that all these things are ruminating or marinating kind of over time, and then it just kind of emerges, and it sometimes can be really difficult for me, but that's my craft, and I'm just telling stories and trying to join dots and things, and so it's never, there's never really one bit that kind of like stands out. One thing that stands out, because it's almost a bit like I'm just always writing, I write one thing and I go, oh, okay, I'm quite happy with that. And then I'm on to the next thing and on to the next thing. And it's if, more often than not, it's like a, it's about telling stories, but it's also about learning for me. I always talk about my writing as being, and I've always talked about it this way, I said my writing is my public thinking digital notebook. It doesn't have to be right. It's just a perspective. So it helps me think out loud. And the fact that people enjoy it is a huge bonus for me.
Really nice to hear your perspective on this. We are also curious how PR professionals can better collaborate with you. And I'm wondering, what is your podcast guest's booking process look like? And what are you looking for when you decide to go forward with a specific guest?
So a lot of the time that the people will, so I, my people on my podcast are generally either people I've met at like a conference or an event, or somebody I've heard speak and I thought, oh, that's really interesting, can we talk about this in the podcast? Or it's been somebody that's been pitched to me, or it's like I'm working with a particular client and they've said, oh, can we have somebody on this? Or we've got this piece of research. Can we have somebody in that talk about that? And it's like, yeah, that's fine. But in terms of the outside of that, the process is people will reach out and say, hey, we've got this person and they want to talk about X. Would that be something of interest? And if it's like sort of sparks the, you know, some interest, then what I would normally do is set up a short call, which is just to almost establish fit and to explore some of the you know, the themes and see where we can go with it. And then once I've done that, and say, assuming that's all okay, I then say, encourage them to book a time, like an hour slot, to record the podcast at some point in the near future, and then in the interim, what I will do is I will put together a set of guide questions. And the reason I do that, they are a guide. They are not strict Q&A. They are like a map for the conversation, and I share those with the PR folks and the guests kind of before the interview, just to give them a bit of a heads up, because different people like to prepare at sort of different sort of levels. But if it reduces, I know that some people get really nervous on podcasts, and that's kind of fine. But if it gives them the opportunity to kind of do a bit of preparation and make a few notes so they can hit their talking points or whatever it is they want to say, that's fine. But that means that we end up having this shared map, as it were, And this is what we're going to say. And so that it might be that we go off script or we might go down a little rabbit hole stuff, but we know where we're coming back to.
So when you approach a podcast, do you already have the story or the headline in mind you want to go into, or do you just kick off the discussion and see where it goes? Of course, with a guide, with some preparation, but are you happy to dive into a completely different direction if you find something interesting there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the thing. When I talk about, actually, there's a friend of mine, an old friend of mine, uses this word, and I've sort of adopted it, and it talk about having a rummage. And it's a really nice English word, which means having a look around things. So like diving into a drawer and going, well, what's underneath there? And I think it's a much, much more organic sort of word to describe a sort of conversation. So you can say, oh, tell me about this and tell me about that. And oh, tell me about that. Oh, but you said that. I want to come back to that. Tell me more about that. Because that's interesting. Or the way that you phrased it is interesting. Or it reminds me of this. I thought this. And so it becomes then that back and forwards. And some people are okay with that. Other people get more nervous about that sort of stuff. Now, I also know that if I'm speaking to certain people, some people, particularly certain different types of brands, they may like to review the content of the podcast before it goes live. Just if, you know, particularly if you're in a regulated industry or you've got tight brand controls or whatever, and you want to run it by your brand people, your legal people, your risk people, compliance people, whatever it might be. I'm happy with that. If it's a conversation that I think, you know, this is really, I think it's really interesting and really useful. But if they wanted to loop that into the kind of process, I've done it before. I don't really have a problem with it. I remember doing a podcast with the chief customer officer of Zurich Insurance. So it's like a massive company. And they were like, yeah, we totally need to have a listen to that before it goes out. And like, we're pretty sure that everything's fine, but we want to just run the rule over it and make sure it's okay. And it was fine. And there were no changes, and it was okay. As I say, it's like, I'm cognizant of those type of dynamics. It does have an impact sometimes on scheduling, because you have to wait sort of for things. But, you know, if they're an interesting kind of person and an interesting brand, and it has an interesting sort of like story, and I think there's something to add to that, and it also doesn't need to be a big brand, it just might just be that what they're trying to say, then I'm happy to work with kind of people from that perspective if I think it's going to be a good thing.
What spikes your interest the most? Is it a big household name? I guess not, because you just said something similar. Or is it more a very interesting bio of a person? Or is it the story, the topic?
It's more the topic. Sort of brands and bios and stuff can be are cool and can be helpful, in particular because it tells you something about the character of the person, but and their background and things. But I think it's more the story and the angle, whether it's maybe, oh, it's a fascinating new piece of technology that somebody's doing something really interesting with, or it's they've produced, say, a piece of research that's got some really interesting insights that it's worthwhile talking about, or they've launched they're doing a particular thing for a set of customers that is improving service and experience, and you're like going, yeah, no, that's brilliant, I want to shine a spotlight on that. That's kind of what I'm interested in, but a lot of it's about the story and the angle, and if that's interesting, whether that's about customer outcomes, whether it's about employee outcomes, and whether it's about a new piece of technology or a new piece of research or whatever it might be.
Makes total sense. And is there one thing you wish more PR professionals understand about your role and how you work?
I wish some people, if there's one thing, I wish they would do, I wish they wouldn't send me random pitches about stuff that is not related to kind of what I generally explore. Like, I get people sending me stuff around cryptocurrency. And I'm like going, not really interested.
That seems to be the one thing that journalists, content creators are the most annoyed by, right? But yeah, I think it's almost visible in every profession. Like, I get annoyed as well if I get contacted by a salesperson for a topic I'm totally not working on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, and I'm not there. I'm not picking on cryptocurrency. I'm like, I get it for beauty products. I get it for this, that. You just get added to lists, and they're like, going, have you seen this face? It's like beauty products is not really kind of my number one sort of like priority right now.
No, on the other side, was there one pitch that was very creative, or like the approach, how the person...
The thing that stands out for me is, rather than somebody doing this sort of like a spray and pray sort of type of approach, if somebody actually takes the time and goes, and there might be there's no guarantee of success in this, but they've actually taken the time and they've said, I remember I got this approach recently, actually, from a person who said, I really appreciate some of the stuff that you do. I'd like to learn a bit more about what makes you tick. And can we arrange time to have a chat? You know, quick 15, 20 minute chat, whatever, over something like this. Or they're like going, can I give you a call? Old school. Kind of like on the phone, we just have a chat, because that what they realize is that they realize that what they're trying to do is they're trying to establish a connection, and whilst that person that I'm sort of thinking about now, it hasn't led to anything as yet, but I know that kind of person. That person stands out in that. Oh, I spoke to that person. And that's interesting. And I'm not saying to everybody, like, please call me. I mean, you can if you like, but I'm not saying to everybody, please call me. Because my phone number, you can find my phone number, it's on my website or something. What's fascinating is like how few people actually do take the time to do that. And it's almost like PR feels like a bit more like a marketing campaign, which is like you blast it out and you're like going and you're hoping for the best. You know, I mean, I would say it's like, if you want to talk to me, then just send me a note and ask me if I'm free to talk. It's yeah, I'm quite busy, but I can make time if it makes sense.
This is what Pauline and I are bringing. Like in the past, it was 80% doing the pitching itself and only 20% research. And this is shifting. Mm-hmm. Our approach should be doing mostly research, 80% research, and only 20% speaking to people, and very, very tailored approaches. Mm-hmm. So glad to hear it from you firsthand. Would you, and is there a good way working with you, since you say you're not a typical journalist, is there something that differentiates from your perspective, from your thinking?
I think it's more the kind of the context stuff, but also basically being persistent and listening to kind of things. And I mean, I get lots of different contacts. I mean, and I have a little application that I use, which allows me to type in short codes, and then it populates with a standard email. Whether it's around, I'm not interested, that's not aligned with what I'm doing, I'll look at that later, I'll get back in touch, I'll let you know, all these different sort of like kind of things. And then I customize them and send it off, sort of thing, just because it saves me time.
Like a customer service agent, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So I have like my own little macros, as it were. And I would say that they're, sometimes just be, you know, persistent. You know, look at kind of some of the things that I've written about in the, you know, the past, but don't be limited to those sort of things. And if anything, don't be afraid to take the time to reach out and say, hey, you know, I've got this thing. I really would like you to take a look at this. And see if it fits. Would you mind doing that, rather than just going, here's the dumper tropic of information, and you hope and pray. But you know, if you believe that there's something really fits and I should take a look at it, then tell me. Don't be offended if I say nah, not for now. But take the time to send me a note and say, hey, I think you'd really be interested in this, and here's why.
Yeah, I guess a more kind of mindful collaboration with you rather than here's an email, deal with it, and please say yes.
Yeah, exactly. And just because you say that that your clients, you know, let's say it's technology, your client's new technology is the you know, the bee's knees. I'm interested in that sort of stuff, but I'm also skeptical of that sort of stuff because, again, another sort of little phrase that I use to describe my approach is that I say that I'm a lover of simplicity and the human touch with a really useful bit of technology thrown in. And if you keep that in mind in terms of the thing I'm really interested in is driving better outcomes, then it sort of tells you that I know enough about technology to be dangerous, as it were, or to understand how things kind of work. But I'm very agnostic about technology. I'm more interested in the outcomes. So you can branding it sort of agentic this or it, blah, 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 agent, conversational, whatever you kind of banner you want to put on it. I'm like, yeah, so what?
Perhaps jumping on this point around technology, obviously, like one trend we are all seeing is a growth in AI in search. So like mm-hmm. Google AI overview on ChatGPT. And I was wondering, as a writer, how are you navigating that shift? And how do you have any concern about your content being used and shared by AI tools?
I did a few months ago. Because I was a bit like, I could see the impact that generative AI search engines were having on web traffic. And then I saw actually something that you guys probably have seen is there's a report from Muckrack that looked at what these generative search engines were using as their sources. And then the fundamentals of SEO or kind of page rank or domain reputation, all these different sort of things, were the things that these engines were actually referencing. And so what we need to remember is the LLMs are only as good as the data that you put into them. And they will dial up what they think is the quality of data. And so I think they're continuing to write and develop, you know, authority and domain relevance and all that type of expertise. And whether it's on my own site or whether it's on Forbes and things, I think that's generally fine because they feed those engines. But I also think there's a difference. There's the engines are looking to provide answers to things, and so there's two different types of content. Some people will be producing specific answer to particular kind of problems. And I was a bit like, and that's why a lot of people are sort of trying to repurpose or reframe their writing. And I'm a bit like, I was thinking about that and I was thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. Because that's not what I do. Mm. I don't write kind of those type of, I don't write that type, those type of pieces, the answer pieces. I write pieces that ask questions, which is a bit more trying to look at where things are at and spot a gap or think forward, mm-hmm. and then try and think about where the direction that we're going on, which is, it speaks to a different type of question that goes into some of these search engines.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
And actually LLMs are not that much help for that in terms of divining that type of content. That's the work that I have to do.
Mm. And would you say that more writers should adopt the same ways of, you know, creating content that asks questions?
Well, it depends what sort of writer you want to be, really. And I have just, if you like, almost stumbled upon this. I mean, as I say, I don't consider myself a natural sort of writer. It's like a learned skill for me. I think I've got better at it. But I think people need to find their own sort of, if you like, voice and perspective, and think about the things that the role that they want to play. And so I've decided that that's the kind of the space that I want to sit in, where I'm thinking about what is now, how can it be better, and also what's coming kind of next. What are some of the big kind of challenges coming down the road? And that's not like way, way further out. It could just be, you know, things that could be around the corner. It could be next year. It could be for the next 5 years, depending on the pace of change.
And so another trend we are seeing is obviously podcasts, newsletters and social platforms seem to have reached a tipping point. And in many cases, they now match or outperform traditional outlets. So in terms of reach and engagement, so from your perspective, and maybe like focusing on the customer, or maybe in this case, readers, what do you think is driving that shift?
That's a really good question. I think it's just like it's the idea of sort of social kind of selling. I mean, if you think about business customers and kind of people as consumers in their own lives, we're sort of not that much different. We do the same things. We sort of, but we catch up on business because we tend to, businesses oftentimes learn for what happens in people's personal lives, right? And so in our personal lives, we will, before we do anything else, we'll often search for things, right? And increasingly, I think that's becoming true in kind of business, and we'll search for things and increasingly on social kind of media or podcast platforms or whatever, because we want to become informed buyers. And I think there's other research that shows that oftentimes, particularly in a business-to-business sort of space, buyers may be about 70 or 80% of the way through their buying journey before they even send you an email or pick up the phone or reach out to you. And so what they're doing, they're consuming things, and it's this idea is like they are trying to see who they can establish trust with at a distance. Who can they get to know? Who can get to better understand? Kind of how can they educate themselves before then become that educated kind of buyer before they reach out to people? And I think that's why you're seeing a lot more of this kind of like podcasts, social content, all these different sort of things. And why apparently LinkedIn is becoming kind of the place where offers the biggest ROI when it comes to B2B sort of marketing spend.
Thank you, Adrian. To end the podcast, I have one last question.
Okay.
Where we would love to get your take on. You're of course not a PR person, but we are really interested what your perspective is. So with the developments we currently see in AI, the change of the media landscape, the evolving audience behavior, what do you think should PR teams think about right now to future-proof their media strategy in Europe? What would you do?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that they do, and this is more informed by how some people and teams that I know and how they work and what they continue to do. I think that they, what they've done, this is one particular group that I work with, they have, on the client side, that is, they pick a group of people that they've developed relationships with, and they continue to work with them. And then they refresh that group, but almost maintain a kind of core cadre of kind of people that they continue to work with. And it's very much a collaborative sort of partnership type of approach. It's about getting to know them, building those relationships, building the sort of a reliance and a trust, kind of on it, and being open with them about, you know, what they're trying to do and what they're, you know, and what they're trying to achieve. Because despite all of the technological evolutions and things, I think it comes down to the people like me, whether you're, I'm in that journalist or influencer or analyst sort of like sort of space, we're effectively, on the one hand, storytellers, and on the other hand, translators for people that we work with. And I think that to be able to do that, and to be able to do that in a sort of in a more insightful and hopefully intimate kind of like way, then it has to be based on relationships. Because and that's, you have to start on. Otherwise, you're just you end up getting to the kind of point where it's like you're shooting in, and then you're on to the next thing, and it's like, and it feels, that feels more about the client or the kind of the PR agency rather than the kind of the person that might be trying to help, if that makes sense.
It does. And yeah, I think it's probably a very good way to end this podcast. And so thank you so much, Adrian, for giving us an insight into your world as a writer. It was great to hear on the ways to form your stories, looking for the different insight that kind of lead to those, the question of why. And yes, thank you and goodbye.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Following Up is a Without Borders podcast series produced by pan-European B2B tech PR and communications agency Taito. You can find every interview on YouTube and all major podcast platforms. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode.